May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1015. My soul, repeat his praise, whose mercies are so great, whose anger is so slow to rise, so ready to abate. Hymn 1015.
Read together from the Holy Word of God, part of the second chapter of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. We'll read from verse 7 through to verse 33. Luke chapter 2 from verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. O thou most merciful and gracious Lord God, we seek to come before thee, pleading the precious name of Jesus, coming through him, our advocate, with thee the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank thee for that wonderful provision, our great high priest. We thank thee for that new order, according to the order of Melchizedek, We thank thee for one that shall never die, has no beginning nor end, who ministers not the Levitical law, but the change of law by change of tribe. O Lord, we do thank thee for that new and living way that thou hast consecrated for us through the veil. And O Lord, do be entreated of for thy blessing upon our gathering this evening. Thou knowest how each one of us have come and waiting upon thee, it may be in different ways, but so desiring thy blessing, thy presence, that thou wouldst be the master of ceremonies, the orderer of all things this evening. Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men, and thou knowest, Lord, the need for thy word. Thou hast a gracious ability to prepare it and to send it forth into the hearts of those that thou hast prepared, and thou hast that purpose, yea, from eternity. And Lord, shall it be thy purposes ripe and fast, unfolding every hour, and that be so tonight. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. O Lord, we would marvel at thy arranging and ordering of all things in this life. And Lord, that which thou hast set forth in thy word, especially concerning thy beloved Son. O Lord, we thank thee for the revelation of all the preparation of thy coming and of all what thou hast done here. We thank thee also for the knowledge that thy preparation is just as careful and from eternity and ordered in all things ensure in bringing that salvation right into poor sinners' hearts and to seal them, those heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. O Lord, do command thy saving blessings tonight. May sinners be quickened into life. May those who have life know they have life. May those that have life be given it more abundantly. Remember, thou hast said, I give unto them eternal life, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do grant that growth in grace and in a knowledge of the Lord. And Lord, we do seek that there might be another step, another waymark reached, another token for good, another evidence of calling, another instance of thy merciful kindness to us, answering prayer, appearing for thy people, blessing them in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we do seek especially that thou wouldst sweeten every bitter cup. The tree that was cast into the bitter waters, may thou, Lord Jesus, that great antitype, be cast into some poor soul's bitter waters tonight. And, O Lord, we do seek also that where there is need for thankfulness, that thou hast give a thankful heart. Soften our hearts under a sense of thy goodness and mercy and kindness to us. O Lord, we do thank thee for those who have and who will put thee on in open profession, especially, Lord, those dear friends known to us and one from here. O Lord, we do seek thy blessing upon each that doth venture in thy name and in thy way. Watch over them, hedge them about, keep them, guide them, cause that they might grow be strengthened, be useful, be a blessing, be as those that are a real example of a venturing believer and one that humbly trusts all their all upon a precious Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. O Lord, we do seek thy grace, thy blessing in our souls, Lord. Without thy grace, Lord, we are nothing but sin and disgrace. Our thoughts we are ashamed of. Our ways, Lord, we are so turning aside again and again. Sin mixed with all we say and all we do. O Lord, do remember us for good. There is more grace in thee than there is sin in us, that we are persuaded. But Lord, do be pleased to grant us that grace, and do grant us that eye for it, and prayer for it, and expectation for it. For where else can we go? And what other strength and whatever help, other help do we have but in thee? Lord, do help poor sinners here to be able to say, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We thank thee for the dear brethren here. Do be pleased to bless the deacons, bless the hymns given out, be with them in all their exercises and all their burdens. Lord, remember this church and bless them. Grant them to ever be united, led of thy Spirit, blessed with thy guidance. Lord, if it could please thee in thy time and way, to set over the people here a pastor after thine own heart to go in and out amongst them. O Lord, do thou work at both ends in such a matter. And O Lord, we do see that thou hast blessed the congregation. We thank thee for each gathered, those who have come from labours, physical, mental labours, exhausting. Those who come into thy house, we thank thee for each one. And, O Lord, do send none empty away. Remember those who cannot gather tonight. And if there are those here that are connected with them in family ties or friendship, may they be able to take a little home and be able to impart even one thought, one word of thine to those that remain at home. O Lord, we do seek that thy word might have free course and be glorified. O Lord, do wash and cleanse us from our sin. Lord, we do seek that real repentance, godly sorrow, the fear of the Lord, a tender conscience, and where we have become defiled, Lord, do renew us again, soften hard hearts, and draw our affections after thee. Lord, where we have drunk into the spirit of the world, may we this night drink into thy spirit, and thy spirit come to us, and that we might breathe that heavenly air, that we might see light in thy light, and that thou hast granted unto us that help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. We do seek for grace to bear every bitter cup, especially, Lord, where there are long-running trials, or where there are trials that there is no prospect of an answer or a deliverance in the way of healing or a way of ceasing of that trial. And, O Lord, do give grace and help in it. O Lord, how many things we know we bring upon ourselves, but, Lord, there are those things that thou hast appointed. And Lord, may it be that through those things, even from birth as the dear blind man, it might be for the honour and glory of God, maybe not in healing, but in the grace given. O Lord, we seek that we might be those that are used of thee to manifest thy grace. Lord, without poor sinners, without thy dear people, thy grace would not be seen. Thy fullness would not be realized. The salt would not be in the world. The light would not be in the world. O Lord, make us salt and light, and may thy grace shine through us. Keep us that we bring not a reproach upon thy name and thy cause. O Lord, wash our petitions in thy precious blood. Hear our prayers for this, our nation at this time. We pray for those that are bereaved and those who have suffered in the atrocities last night. We seek that these things might be sanctified to us each and to those concerned. And Lord, that thou hast grant that it might be a voice to us as a nation too. And do watch over and keep our leaders, those that are openly mixing with many crowds and the lead up to the election. Do preserve and keep them from harm and from evil. And be pleased too, as thou dost, appoint the powers that be over us to hear prayer, that there might be raised up over us those that shall fear thy name. Give us a mix in Parliament for good. Lord, we would leave that with thee as to how and what is needed. But Lord, may there be that which does happen in this nation to shake up sinners, to bring souls into need, to cause men and women to want again to hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, may there be a generation raised up that know the power of thy Spirit, the pouring forth of thy Spirit, that there might be again reformation in our land, that there might be a generation that don't want to hear the lies that are set forth from many pulpits and where the word of God is silent. Lord, do grant again in this land a people that want to know what thou dost say and what the word of God says. O Lord, do thou this work in our land. Lord, we pray for those round about this hill of Zion. Bless the people of Swavesey, and do work savingly in this area. O Lord, do be pleased to strengthen the many little hills of Zion. Strengthen and bless the friends here. And O Lord, do be with us in each of our places of worship. Now, Lord, do forgive what we ask amiss. Grant us thy help in speaking and in hearing. And, O Lord, do grant the due and unction and savour of the name of Jesus. We thank thee for the precious blood shed at Calvary. We thank thee for the love of the Saviour. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we thank thee, Lord, for thine intercession in heaven, thy finished salvation, thy covenant ordered in all things and sure. And now, Lord, we come to the means of grace, the means that thou hast promised to bless, the preaching of the word, foolishness to the natural man. And, Lord, it will be without thy Spirit's power and blessing, foolishness still. But, Lord, we come in thy appointed way. Oh, bless the word. Lord, may we prove it, that it has been of thee, and that it is of thee. O Lord, thou dost give the word. Lord, we are brought here. Help me now to bring forth thy message. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Part of hymn number 308, the second part, singing down to verse 7. In 308, the second part, if this be, Lord, thy way, then who can hope to gain that prize such numbers never seek, such numbers seek in vain. In 308, the second part, singing down to verse 7.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, Luke chapter 2, and reading for our text, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There might be those of you here who have heard the Lord's people speak about being exercised or exercised spiritually. And you might have wondered, well, what does that really mean? What does that really involve? Well, in one sense, our text is a simple explanation of at least some aspects of an exercised soul. Mary had seen things, she had heard things, things that many people, they wondered at. But how she reacted, she kept those things right in her heart and she pondered them. She thought over them, went over them, no doubt prayed over them. A real exercise it is, dealing with things that the Lord brings to pass. Things that are said, and it lays it to heart, and it goes over it, and that is the exercise of a soul. Contrasted here, the others, we are told, they just wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. There's a distinct difference between wondering at something and keeping those things and pondering over them. Now with Mary, she heard, we'll come back later to the actual things, but she heard of these things that the shepherds related. Great things, wonderful things concerning her son. Then later on, the verse that we finished at, we have Simeon speaking also wonderful things concerning her son. And we read there, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. If we'd have read to the end of the chapter, then we would have covered a period of 12 years of the life of Jesus. And another instance of what was to happen in Providence when they came up to the temple, up to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And when they returned, they thought he was in the company. They went a day's journey, and when they sought him, he wasn't there. And then they turned back to Jerusalem, and it was 3 days before they found him, and there he was in the temple, reading verse 46, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And his answer, he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? What a reproof. Mary had said, Thy father and I, but he says, Wist ye not, I must be about my father's business, not Joseph's. his heavenly Father. We read that they understood not the saying which he spake of them. Very important to notice that in the context of an exercised soul, because we read he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto him, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. This exercise that Mary had in keeping these things that had happened and that had been said now has spanned 12 years. And I've no doubt there's many things not recorded that she was already laying up. You see, when he went into the ministry and began his public ministry, his first miracle, the wedding, they have no wine, and what does Mary say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. A result of those exercises, the pondering, the noticing, the keeping hold of all those things she had seen. And now she's able to say with certainty, you can trust what Jesus will do. Doesn't matter whether you understand it, or whether you can work out how it's going to work or what, you just trust implicitly. And when they wanted wine and he said, go fill the pots with water, they did. Naturally, you'd say, well, we want wine, not water. But they did. And the Lord turned that water into wine. And you think of the path that Mary walked. We don't read of the time when Joseph was taken, but he never lived to see Jesus to be crucified, to be buried, to rise again, and to ascend into heaven. All that Mary did see. And yet, like the disciples that also puzzled on the way to Emmaus, even at that stage, there's many things that she didn't fully understand. And yet she really lived that life of that 30 years in the way of our text, in an exercise of soul concerning her son and keeping those sayings and pondering them in her heart. An example of a real exercised soul. And I want to speak to you this evening on the exercise of soul based upon this verse. And I want to look first at six truths to affirm that are really very necessary for this, and then secondly to go back and just see what is comprised in our text. It said all these things. What had she heard at that point in time? And then lastly, look at the benefits of being and the blessings of being exercised in this way. But firstly, I want to look at some truths that really are vital first, if we are to be watching providence and listening to what people are saying, things being noticed, what we say and what actually happens, is to be persuaded that nothing happens by chance. Nothing just happens. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? There is not a word in my mouth, that thou knowest it altogether. The psalmist in Psalm 139, he speaks of the babe being formed in the womb. He speaks of our members being not yet perfect, yet in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And we're used to those things that around us that are formed, they're God's works, they're from beginning to end. A man cannot put his hand to it. Not chance, but the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing, and marvellous in our eyes. As soon as we listen to the world, as soon as we listen to the human reason and think, well, it's just chance. You think of the Philistines in the time when the ark went through their coast. Even though all those things happened, wherever the ark came, there was illness, there was death. But they had to put it to a trial. Was it a chance that happened to them? Or was it the Lord? And they used the ark on the cart with the calves at home and saw which way it would go. Would it go back to the calves, or would it take the ark back to Israel? And they had their answer, and we have our answer very clearly in that too. It was not chance. It was the Lord's hand upon them. Maybe there's things in your life that you're passing over at this present time. You think, well, that happens to everybody. That's nothing unusual. Everyone has those things happen to them. Almost saying it's just a chance. You know, when Rabshakeh came and he spoke to Hezekiah and said, we destroyed all these other nations. You're just the same. We're going to destroy you just the same. They weren't just the same. They were God's people. And those other nations, their gods weren't gods at all. And though the world does not acknowledge the Lord's hand, don't ever think that, well, for God's people, God orders everything. But for the world, that's left to chance. No. The ungodly, as well as the godly, all, none, are just left to go on their own devices and own ways. It doesn't relieve us of our guilt for our sin and our accountability before God. But God is in control, not man, or not some fictitious chance. And that's very important first. If we're to be rightly exercised of what things we see and hear, is to know that it was not just a chance. It came by permission, came by appointment. Also, we must remember as well, it is the Lord's way to reveal his purposes gradually. One of our hymns says, providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine. The Lord does have a plan and a counsel and purpose, but often that takes years to unfold. We think of the first promises of our Lord and 4,000 years before he came. And yet there was very important steps along that way. The calling of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. The giving him a son, Jacob, and then going into Egypt. They are very important steps in the plan of forming Israel as a nation to which the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And all of the Lord's purposes, they can be traced right back to the Lord's knowing it a long, long while before it came to pass. And foundations are laid and things are done in preparation for what the Lord is going to do later on. course, those of you who've done building work or in farming work, you know that as well, that there's many things that are done as preparation, maybe before any people see it on the surface at all. Things that are planned, drawings that are made, machinery that's got ready for the time of the year, all these things. And God is also working out his purposes. And to remember, like we have with Mary, that this can span many years. Many years. There may be those of you here, and you've had things that you have pondered over, you've thought of, and you may go back 10, 20 years. And by now you're thinking, I think I was mistaken. I think that can't have been right, what I thought was joined with that or what that was indicating. And it may be you've forgotten it, and then something happens, another providence, or someone says something, and immediately it comes back. You remember it, and you think, well, maybe that was the Lord's hand. Maybe that hasn't finished. You might have thought in your mind that the Lord's purposes concerning that providence or that word have been finished and accomplished and done, but now you think maybe it hasn't. And the exercise is renewed again. And so I want to make this point that there is often with the Lord a long period of time, and the Lord reveals the steps bit by bit, gradually along the way. Also, I want to make the point that often the Lord uses providences that have a double purpose. A purpose on the surface and a purpose underlying. You think of when Samuel was told by the Lord to go and anoint David to be king over Israel. And Samuel was very frightened to go. He said, Saul will hear of it and he will kill me. So the Lord gave him a double purpose. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't something that was to deceive. But there was two reasons why he should go up where Jesse was. He was to go up to Bethlehem and he was to sacrifice there. But he was also to anoint David. But as far as Saul was concerned, all that was known was the one reason. But that wasn't the important reason. That wasn't the main reason. The Lord had the anointing of David. If we take even before that, we think of King Saul when he was anointed. How was he brought to Samuel? The asses were lost. The Lord used those lost asses and Saul seeking them to bring Saul to be with Samuel. The Lord had another purpose, a hidden purpose. You think of when Goliath was fighting Israel and Jesse, he sends David with some provisions and to see his brethren and how they do. But when David comes and then Goliath is challenging them, and when David is asking about it, his older brother gets upset with him. But David said, is there not a cause? David could see there was not just the cause, not just a reason for him to come into the camp to see his brethren. David realized the Lord had a purpose in him being there at that time. And we know the unfolding of that providence, how much that purpose was there. And so we see right through scriptures where the Lord has a double purpose. There are steps in the way. that are steps to the way, and yet they are not the end. So we have those purposes they're making that take a long while. We have the double purposes, and then also we have those steps in the way as well. And if we think in that way of Joseph, very similar one. He was sent by his father to see his brethren. His brethren dealt terribly with him, threw him into the pit. One step was that he should be sold. Then he was to go to Potiphar. And then he was falsely accused and put in the prison. And of course, Joseph, he had the dreams. And we read regarding dear Jacob, that when Joseph told the dreams, and his brothers hated him yet even more for those dreams, because they pictured that they were all bowing down to Joseph. And they said, will we indeed do that? And Jacob said the same. But we read that Jacob, that he actually noted the matter, and he remembered those words, and it was different with Jacob. I believe Jacob, he realized that there was something there to watch and to look after. So when Joseph goes into prison, that's not the end of the matter, but it's a necessary step to be brought before Pharaoh, because Pharaoh's prisoners were bound in that prison. And so when the butler and the baker were there, and the butler was an important step, and I believe Joseph, we read, until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. Joseph himself would have been going over the things that had happened, the dreams that he'd had, and why he was there. The butler and the dreams that had come to pass and the words he said to him, remember me, but he forgot, yet remembered him just at the right time. And you see all of these steps that the Lord uses. His whole aim was to bring Jacob and all his family into Egypt and settle them in the best part of the land. So he brings the famine, and he brings Joseph in, and he puts Joseph right next to Pharaoh, and he brings them all in. It's wonderful when you look back and when you can see how the Lord has done step by step, each in its time, those important parts with the man that finds Joseph wandering in the field, and he'd heard them say that they were going unto Dothan. My life's minutest circumstance, subject to his eye. And these are things you ponder over. Those providences that so much hung on, a little thing, but so vital to the next step that happened. And there are things then that are kept and gone over. Also, one thing to bear much in mind is that one thing on its own often doesn't make much sense at all. If you were to make a jigsaw puzzle and someone gave you one piece and you looked at that, you'd say, I can't tell what that picture is, can't tell it at all. But if then a day or two later they gave you an X piece and you look at that and say, I can't tell what that is either, but I'm going to keep that, I'm going to throw it away, I'm just going to keep it. And a week or so later they gave you another bit, and then a few days later another bit, and you started to put these pieces together, and suddenly you begin to see there's a picture taking shape there. If you'd have thrown them all away and all you ever did was to take the next piece and look at that, and throw that away and wait till the next few days and get the next piece, you'd never see anything. But when it was all kept, and Mary here, she kept all these sayings, not just some of them, all of them, and she pondered them. She was putting them together, looking to starting to see the thread and the plan and the purpose. Persuaded of this, that when God does something, there is a plan and there is a thread and there is a purpose. Many of the wonderful inventions that men have made, Newton's law, many of them are because those scientists, they know that God is a God of order, and there will be an order there, and there will be a purpose in creation, and they've looked for it and they've found it, and they've obtained those laws of the various with the science and engineering. And so it is in our providences as well to know that the Lord does have a purpose and does have plans, and they're not just randomly things that mean nothing. So remembering, it may be having to wait, like dear Mary, 30 years before we actually can put it all together and see it perfectly. But no doubt much helps along the way. And so it's good to remember these points. Another point, especially when we're speaking of exercise of soul, I must make, and that is that all that the Lord does is in accordance with his word. Beware of exercises, beware of thoughts that the Lord will work contrary to his word. Especially, I mean, not like the Old Testament is a forming of the word of God. The New Testament, the Gospels, is working out God's word itself, is being formulated and settled. But for the gospel day, for our day, from beginning to end, we have the revelation of the will and purposes of God. And if we are led of the Spirit, then he will never lead contrary to the word of God. He will not lead in a way of sin. He will not do things in providence, and we are thinking, well, something's going to come to pass. But for that to come to pass is actually sinful and wrong, and even wrong to be thinking about it along the way. So we must remember that as well. A vital thing here, what we're talking about, is what is going on inside, what is our thoughts, what is our meditation, what we've been looking at happening in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, or in Mary's case, her son, and what things we have heard said, and knowing that the Lord has a purpose in these things, especially some which are more strongly laid to our heart, laid to our mind. So that, like at the very instant of them happening, like with Mary, other people were wondering and they were marvelling. Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken. Some of the Lord's ways and providences might be less remarkable at the time. Others are very, very marked and very clear. Well, I want to then look, going back at this passage, and look specifically at Mary herself and what she had heard. Remember, she'd had the shepherds to come and they related what had been told to them. That's the immediate context, what comes before our text. Well, the first thing, if we go back to verse 10, and we have the angels, they had appeared to the shepherds, and they tell them two things there. And this is what they would have conveyed to Mary and to all that heard. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. What a beautiful description of the gospel. This isn't just the babe born, but what follows after, what is bound up with that. No, really, all what the Lord does for his dear people, they are good tidings of great joy. And yet along the way to it, what sorrows. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we are like him, the Lord's people in this world. They of all people are mourners over their sins. They of all people know the desperate wickedness of their heart. But that which they have shown and revealed to them in the gospel is a greater joy than this world can ever afford. It's the best and most blessed tidings that can ever, ever be given. May we never forget these first words of the coming of the Lord into this world and the message from heaven that can really describe the coming of the Lord and the blessings that that brings. Those of you here who have known the joy of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, and to have your heart leap with joy and the realization that the Lord is my God and my Savior, and to have, like the psalmist, he breaks out, he says, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. And for him to be able to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not all joy, but there is times of real precious joy for the people of God. The joy of the Lord's people. Ye now there have sorrow, but I will see you again, and what's the effect? And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And so Mary would have heard this. One of the things she would think over, this message that is of good tidings and of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's easy for us to read over this and not realize what that message must have meant to a Jew and to the people of the Jews, all people, in other words, to Gentiles, to all nations. What a thing to ponder over as to who this message and these tidings were for. Later on we have dear Simeon, if we didn't read that part, but he said specifically to Mary, the mother of our Lord, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. She was given something very, very personal to keep and to go over. Good tidings for all people. Has the devil been saying to some of you here, well, the good tidings of the gospel are not for you. For someone else, but not for you. All people. May we help to keep that and ponder over that. Who can tell? If it's all people, why not me? Why not my soul? Then we have in verse 11, the telling, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Already Joseph had been told, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But here's the Saviour. Mary hears this. My babe is to be the Saviour. He is the Redeemer, as later on with Anna says, pointed to him, to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. The two go together. None saved without being redeemed. Redeemed is set free by the payment of the price. the precious blood of Christ. The Lord said, for this cause came I into this world. And there he is, about to be offered up and about to suffer. Really, what is here? Dear Mary had revealed to her the Saviour, pointed out the Saviour, and then told by Simeon, for you too. Have we had that? Now this is the shepherds coming and rehearsing these things. What is the difference between a minister of the gospel coming to you and preaching to you and bringing these same tidings and preaching them and declaring into your hearing these same things? The words that you hear, are they not worth keeping and pondering over? Have they, just because there's 2,000 years or so gone by since these words were first spoken into this world, have they lost their power? Have they lost the truth? Or is it just as applicable to you and I as it was to Mary? To keep these words and not cast them away? Those of you who seek the Lord, those of you who want that to hold on to, the words of the Lord that are revealed, that these are written, John says, that ye may believe, and then in believing ye might have life through his name. If you and I are bound up in the purposes of God, we're bound up in this message too. A Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The truth is in Jesus, says the apostle to the Ephesians. The secret is in Christ. Salvation in no other but in Christ. Oh, to have that laid up in the heart and pondered over and gone over. But then in verse 12 we have a sign revealed. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. When we go to verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. A sign given had come to pass. They would have said to Mary, we knew that we would find the babe in this manger. The angels told us that it was here. And here he was. The Lord is pleased to give at his sovereign pleasure those signs to his people, those things, those tokens for good, those things that he tells them beforehand, that when it is come to pass they may know that it is I, as he said to his dear disciples. When the Lord has his purposes, then he lets his dear people know. And it is put in two ways in the scripture. The Lord says that he tells his people beforehand that when that comes to pass, that they may know that it is him. But he leaves some things that he doesn't tell them until the last minute, so that they will know that that wisdom is not in them, but in the Lord. They are dependent upon the Lord for everything to be revealed. Very often in our exercises, and I nearly always felt this, that when we think, well, I know what's going to happen, and you think you can plan out and you can think how your Lord's going to work, you can anticipate the Lord, invariably it's wrong. Invariably it's wrong. Because there'll be that which the Lord will show later on. And he keeps back from his people. He keeps them so that they are dependent upon him and to have these things revealed in their season. The Lord is in control. Very seldom is he fully anticipated in what he will do. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And in the Lord's appointed time, then he did tell them, and he told them what he was doing. And it is in these things that Mary would have heard and been exercised of. She's then told also the message of the heavenly host, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And what were they saying? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not peace on earth. There'll never be peace on earth. But on earth peace. A very different thing. In the world ye shall have tribulation, our Lord said, but in me ye shall have peace. On this sin-cursed earth, the Lord's dear people know peace in their hearts, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, known on this earth. And there are those of you here, I believe, know what that peace is. If the Lord give peace, who then can make trouble? And so these would be some of those things that Mary heard, things that she saw. She saw the shepherds coming, the very fact that they came. Why did they come? Who told them to come? And the message that they brought, all of these things would have gone over in her mind and to be exercised with. Now, what is it with you? What things are laid up in your hearts? What things that seem to be dead and buried and yet are brought and raised up again? I remember coming over to this land, one of the visits, and I was exercised at that time on the ministry and had been for many years, but I'd got so low, and it seemed as if that religion, that exercise was completely dead, as if it was not there anymore at all. And one of the Lord's dear servants, he came to East Peckham and he preached from "It Shall Be Well." And then he brought "It Is Well." And he said to that child, he said, "It is dead, it was dead, but it is well." And it was as if he said to me, and the Lord said to me, "The exercise seems dead, but it is well." And the Lord used that to raise it up again and to bring it up again. And yet to my feelings it was dead as dead. No man, says the Lord, can keep alive his own soul. And yet when the Lord brings things into the heart, his word is a living word. And that is kept alive. The Holy Spirit is the remembrancer to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, I want to look then in the last place at some of those benefits of being exercised. If we think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. Isaiah, he told him, "Put thy house in order, thou shalt die and not live." And he poured out his heart to the Lord. Isaiah, he turned round and he came and he said, "The Lord has added 15 years to your life." But Hezekiah tells us of how he chattered, how he prayed, how he laid these matters before the Lord. It was a short period of time, as it were, between Isaiah telling him the first message and then coming back again. But we don't know how long he'd been ill before that message had been sent. But he says this, "By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit." These sicknesses, these perplexing things, these things that seemed so wrong, you know, with Hezekiah, he was in the line to Christ. And where was his son? He hadn't got a son. If he died, the line finished. But within 15 years, Manasseh was born, and the line was continued, as vitally it was continued. In exercise of soul is much of the life of the people of God. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, it is within you. And what does it bring about? It is based upon not fancy, but upon things that really have happened. Things that have been heard and said, and it goes on within,
an exercise where it is brought before the Lord, prayed over, asked the Lord about these things. God is his own interpreter, and he shall make it plain. But blessed soul that is given things that are in their life, God has put them in their life, not chance. He's given them things to go over in their hearts, to pray over, to think on, and to wait upon the Lord in those things. May we have those things in our lives. May each of you, dear friends, the things that you are exercised with are what the Lord has exercised you with in your life, not someone else's. I'd say that carefully, because with Mary, it is concerning her son. With the woman, with her afflicted daughter, the Canaanitish woman, it was the daughter. But when it comes to lying, the Lord saying unto John and his path, Peter, when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And Peter, he turns round, he looks at John, he says, what shall this man do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Our concern, our exercise concerning ourselves, and yet how often, like we have with Mary, like we have with the Syrophoenician woman, our lives are bound up with our children. Our lives are bound up maybe in the church of God with those of the congregation. We see things, we hear things. Do we keep that? And do we go over that? On our exercise, because that is our position. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The church should not be walking around with their eyes closed, but watching and praying and noticing. And those things be the exercise of the soul. Also, it is not only a means of giving us what to watch and pray over, but it is also a means to believing and confirming. When we begin to see these things and watch the hand of the Lord, Psalm 107, it finishes, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If we read that psalm, we might observe, well, they're brought down again and again. There's none to help. They cry unto the Lord, and he delivers them. And we can see it in reading this pattern. But have we noticed it in our own life? Or have we had one trial, and we've been brought down low, we've cried unto the Lord, and he's heard, and then we've forgotten that. And then we've had another trial. The same thing has happened. We haven't put the two together, we've forgotten that. And then you have another one. And it may be tonight is a night, and may the Spirit do it, to bring to your remembrance, well, what of that time, and that time, and that time? Hasn't the Lord helped in all those times? When you've cried to him, when you've laid your case before him, he hasn't said, well, you haven't sought me first, or I'm wearied of you. You can look back and say, well, I can't have wearied him, because he has helped me each of these times. Putting them together. And it needs to be in this way of keeping all these things and pondering them to get that benefit. And when you start to see these things, I mentioned that beautiful verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I remember a particular part of the woods in Cranbrook, walking along that path. And the Spirit brought back to remembrance to me various things that happened in my life, and said, I helped you there and there and there. And brought them back together. And that verse just bubbled up in me as reviewing what the Lord had done. And it was a very sacred time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. It already had. And faith, it said, he that hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. And so he's revealed. That's why the Lord says, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to try thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst serve the Lord thy God or no. The Lord knows what's in our heart, but he shows us. And he shows us in the things that we go through. It must be, we must decrease, he must increase. It's a humbling way. Christ exalted, we brought down low. The grace of the Lord seen, mercy shown again and again. The goodness of the Lord, our poor follies, our waywardness, our foolishness. But he has not dealt with us as our sins have deserved, as we had in our first hymn. The way of the Lord is a good way. It's a way that leads a soul to be strengthened in the Lord. Dear David, when he comes to Ziklag and the city is burned with fire and his wives taken captives, they spake of stoning him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When he came before Goliath, we mentioned before, he said, the same God who delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David hadn't forgotten the time with the bear, had he? Nor with the lion. And he put those together, and what a help it was to him in that trial with Goliath. And may you do the same. The Lord's helps, the Lord's deliverances, and how he's appeared for you in time past. I am the Lord says, I change not. We do. I change not, wherefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We think also of how confirming it can be when the Lord brings his purposes to pass. And then we can look back and see the steps clearly how it has been brought to pass and all that has gone on. So may we help to, like Mary, keep all these things, not some of them, all these things, ponder them in our hearts. We think of the Lord's second coming, or the time when the Lord brings to pass what he is planning for his people. The Jews at his first coming, they knew not the day of his visitation. But what the Lord said about for his second coming, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There is the people at the end of time, and they're still walking in this path, watching the things that are coming to pass, keeping them, taking notice of them, and looking up and expecting the Lord to work in these things. Not by chance, but the Lord performing his will. Thy will be done. And so may we be not those that just drift along through life or think, well, what shall be, but those who take delight in the work of the Lord, those who notice his handiwork, those who from time to time, though they can't yet see the end of the matter, can still say, this is the Lord's work, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Can still see those tokens and to be encouraged in the Lord and strengthened in the Lord's way. My mind just goes in closing to dear Jacob when his sons came back from Egypt. Remember, he'd also heard the dreams of Joseph, and he had pondered, he'd kept those, and yet 20 years had gone by, and toward the end of that time, there's his sons going up to Egypt and the man in Egypt dealing hardly with them. Simeon is gone. Benjamin has been taken. Joseph is not. All these things, he says, are against me. All these things. Mary, these things she's keeping in her heart. All these things, dear Jacob still had kept them all. But right to the end, he's still thinking all these things are against me. But then along comes his sons, and they tell him Joseph is alive, and his heart faints. He doesn't believe them. But then he sees the wagons. He starts to see the providences, things that are a material, they're really evidence of what the sons are saying. Where do these wagons come from? That goes along with what his sons are saying. We read that the spirit of Jacob revived, and Israel said, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I'll go and see him before I die. A rising up of faith, strengthening of faith and belief. And yet, all those years, but the things that had happened, they weren't all lost. They'd have all began to make sense and all come together as a glorious work of the Lord. Jacob's last days, how he could really praise and bless the Lord for all that he'd done for him. And may that be so with you and I. And may we along the way, those of you seeking the Lord, watch the Lord's hand, watch his providence, ponder the things in your heart, the texts you hear, the ministers that come to you, how they come, the providences, last Lord's day. The minister that was due here couldn't come. He was unwell. The Lord's dear servant that came to you had very great difficulties getting to Bromley in the day. I was at Ashwell, so I knew what was happening there. I knew he was coming to you, and I understand only just came in time, but he did come in time, and he brought the message. Now, I always like to really notice, especially when the Lord, and I've been blessed several times when I've come into a chapel, and I expected a certain minister to be there, and it wasn't someone else. But the very fact that other minister and the text that he brought was blessed is a double blessing, because the Lord has seen fit to lay aside one and put another to bring that message for me. And may that be so with you. These things are to be noticed and regarded and put together. The real benefit and blessing, particular blessing to your soul, be really realized. And the Lord given the glory for what he has done. All his servants are in his hand. The Lord gave the word. But great was the company of them that published it. One servant can't do the work of another, but the Lord is the chooser of who he will use. Well, may the Lord grant us to be exercised and see in the Lord's time and way his purposes toward us, and to see them in Christ Jesus, and to be able to believe that the Lord is our portion. And the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. And that those things that he has wrought in our lives are only because of one thing. The Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. And therefore with loving kindness has he drawn us and worked all things for our good. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Stephen Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with the remaining verses of hymn 308, the second part. Commencing at verse 8. Again we cannot see his helping hand but feel, And though we neither feel nor see, his hand sustains us still. Hymn 308, part 2, commencing at verse 8.
Yeah.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.